network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network in sports.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. I'm live in Hudson today, in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church, because it's our pledge drive, and we need your help at WGXC.org/donate. See what you can do to keep community radio on in your area, to keep all sorts of voices, a diverse group of community members who volunteer their time to bring you creative community radio, solar-powered radio. Make a donation today at WGXC.org/donate. Become a sustaining supporter and make sure that this sort of radio continues in the Upper Hudson Valley. Radio that is important to the local music scene, bringing you previews of touring bands coming to town and local albums just released. We'll hear all sorts of local music this morning. We'll also hear Philip Grant with the local news, the Public News Service with the national headlines, and the Catskill Makers Syndicate with the better weather. It all starts at the local news in just a moment. Stay tuned to the WGXC Morning Show.
Hi, I'm Shersha Mizan from Hudson. You are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. Thank you.
Wave Farms Art Park is now open on Saturdays. Drop in for unannounced guided tours on Saturdays from noon to 6 p.m. or book a tour in advance on other days. Wave Farms' 29-acre campus in Acre is the home of the Art Park with 13 installations in the Study Center, WGXC Acre Studio, and the Wave Farms International Artist Residency Program. Visitors on Saturdays receive a guided tour of the campus. Admission is free and tours typically last 60 to 90 minutes. Again, on Saturdays, Wave Farms Art Park is open for drop-in visits anytime from noon to 6 p.m. from June through October. Stop by Wave Farm on Saturdays from noon to 6 p.m.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years. Offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Mama Getty of Hyannis, Massachusetts. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Daily News for Thursday, October 5th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Mike Goodwin reports in the Times Union that local non-commercial radio station WAMC is no longer going to pay guests on its The Roundtable program. Rosemary Armeo said she won't appear on the show anymore because the radio station is no longer paying her $50 an hour to appear on the morning talk show. Armeo, a longtime journalist and professor at the State University at Albany, said, quote, I'm leaving because new interim management at WAMC doesn't want to pay me anymore starting December 1st. I was hired more than a decade ago to come onto the show, but the new guy say it isn't fair that only some and not all of the roundtable panelists get money, $50 an hour, to appear, unquote, she wrote. Quote, I agree, but they rejected my suggestion that paying everyone would fix this inequity, unquote. WAMC's interim CEO Stacy Rosenberry said the station could not afford to pay all the panelists anymore. WGXC does not pay any guest that appears on the station. Shows are hosted by volunteer community members. Read more about the story in the Times Union. Liz Montgomery reports in Porcupine Soup that the Greene County resort Wyndham Mountain now wants people to call it Wyndham Mountain Club. Earlier this year, the Beal family and the Kemmons Wilson Hospitality Partners made a large investment in the local resort. Sandy Beal founded the original Ruby Tuesday restaurant chain, and the Kemmons Wilson Hospitality Partners formed the Holiday Inn hotel chain. The new owners say they will make more than $70 million in upgrades on Wyndham Mountain. President Chip Seaman said, quote, "With uncrowded slopes for members and the public, our ski racing and development programs, and extraordinary culinary offerings, we aim to create a remarkable end-to-end experience at Wyndham Mountain Club," unquote. Read more about the story in Porcupine Soup. Kevin Fry reports for New York State of Politics that Representative Mark Molinaro reflected the confusion and dual tracks of his now leaderless fellow House Republicans about who they want as their new leader. A handful of ultra-conservative Republicans ousted House Speaker Kevin McCarthy earlier this week, virtually shutting down the government. When actions resume next week, they will have to choose a leader to get anything done. Molinaro said, quote, "We need in our conference to accept that we're going to have a speaker who will mold consensus and accept a large degree of compromise on our behalf," unquote. So Molinaro wants someone who can compromise with Democrats, but who also puts, quote, "forward effectively an aggressive agenda to meet the needs of the American people," unquote. Molinaro also had good things to say about the outgoing speaker, saying, quote, "No one member of Congress had worked harder to help me certainly get here or to win the majority and then ultimately work towards growing it than Kevin McCarthy," unquote. House Republicans took 15 votes to elect McCarthy in January, and next week plan to choose a new leader so the federal government can function again. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics, and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
We've got the power!
We have the power!
About 75,000 Kaiser Permanente workers in multiple states walked out for a three-day strike against the healthcare giant. They say understaffing following COVID-19 is boosting profits but hurting patient care. The fight's starting over who'll succeed former Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy. Majority Leader Steve Scalise of Louisiana wants the job. So does Judiciary Chair and Trump ally Jim Jordan of Ohio, who says he can lead the fractious House GOP.
I do understand that our liberties are under assault, and we'd better stick together as a party to fight the radical left that now unfortunately controls the Democrat Party.
The House is stalled without a speaker just 40 days before another possible government shutdown. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says the U.S. is in a dangerous moment.
If, God forbid, some national crisis were to occur that demands immediate action, the House would be unable to quickly respond.
McCarthy's ouster has also put more Ukraine aid in limbo. Eight Senate Democrats are calling for urgent action. Millions of families risk losing child care with the end of pandemic-era federal subsidies, and in five states, half of providers could close. Senator Patty Murray of Washington backed a plan, which failed without Republican support, to extend child care grants. She says countless employees could be forced to stay home with their kids.
Ask any parent, ask any business owner, and they will tell you this is not a partisan issue. It is an urgent economic priority.
President Joe Biden is announcing a new round of federal student loan forgiveness as borrowers face restarting payments. He says the latest step will help 125,000 people get a clean slate.
They can think about buying a house. They can start a business. They can be starting a family. This matters. It matters in their daily lives.
The administration is also promoting its SAVE plan, which lowers payments by tying them to a borrower's income. New York City Mayor Eric Adams will travel to Central and South America this week, warning possible asylum seekers not to come.
We're going to tell them that coming to New York doesn't mean that you come here, you automatically are going to be allowed to work.
With the 10,000 migrants coming to New York in a single month, Adams says it could overwhelm their shelter system. Polls still find former President Donald Trump the runaway leader for the GOP nomination, but for the early New Hampshire primary, Nikki Haley has risen to second. Haley says she wants to do well there to have momentum going into her home state of South Carolina. Meanwhile, Trump is calling on the RNC to cancel the rest of the debates and focus on beating President Biden. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. After ignoring Ohio's constitutional ban on partisan gerrymandering and attempting to make it harder to pass citizen ballot initiatives, the majority in the Ohio legislature is now attempting to ban ranked choice voting and close party primaries. Ohio Capital Journal reports that Tuesday, a House committee heard testimony on HB 208 and 210, restricting who can vote in a party primary. Ohio's current primary rules allow voters to choose either party's primary, but choosing a ballot automatically affiliates the voter to that party. To unaffiliate, voters must manually change affiliation back or simply ask for a different party's primary ballot in the next election. Both HB 208 and 210 would require newly registered voters to affiliate 30 days in advance of a primary. HB 210 requires changing affiliation by December 31st of the year before the primary. If passed, Ohio's 6.2 million unaffiliated voters can't participate in a primary election unless they join a party. SB 137 bans ranked choice voting in state elections and would withhold state funding to any municipality which enacts it. Detractors say that RCV takes too long and is too complicated for voters to understand. Supporters of RCV argue it allows more choice of candidates, encourages better candidate behavior, and is easy to do. We have links to the bills and articles at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, October 5th. Today's better weather is coming from a remote and hostile location. The station sent me out in search of funds for the fall pledge drive, and I'm doing my part. That includes telling you all the weather. It's going to be nice, a lot nicer than it is here. You lucky people get a high of 76 degrees and nice partly cloudy skies. Weekend could be pretty wet. Good thing it's not cold enough to make any snow down there. Too bad I heard there's a chance for auroras tonight. You want to try and bring me back for the Friday broadcast, head on over to WGXC.org and hit that donate button.
Thank you.
2023 new music from Hudson-based band Babehoven there. That's songwriter Maya Bon and collaborator Ryan Albert in Babehoven. We are featuring all sorts of local music, jazz, country, punk, folk, noise, experimental sounds, all sorts of local sounds and sounds coming to town during our annual pledge drive that's currently going on. We're asking for your help to support Creative Community Radio, to keep young people on the air, to keep senior citizens on the air, to keep local people on the air. This is not radio that's beamed in from a computer in Los Angeles telling us what track to play this hour to maximize our profits. This is a community station run by the folks in the community. The programs are put on by the folks here, your neighbors. And if you'd like to support your neighbors, please give a donation at wgxc.org/donate or call 518-697-7400. That's wgxc.org/donate. There's a big donate button there when you get to wavefarm.org or wgxc.org. Either way, if you're looking for a web stream, we've got plenty of them. We've got live web streams from local venues like the Avalon Lounge in Catskill and the Wave Farm Pond here. You can listen in too. And the mic out in the woods at Wave Farm. You can hear the animals at all hours live at wgxc.org and wavefarm.org. These are more reasons we are hoping you become a sustaining supporter and say that you believe in lots of voices on the local media as the newspapers shrink away and the broadcasts head back to Albany. And this is one of the last local outposts for people to have their say and speak out about local issues and talk about things going on in the community, play music for each other, beam in to live events and more. We've got town meetings from Catskill and Philmont and the city of Hudson, live web streams from those municipalities, bringing you good local public information. That's what WGXC tries to do, is give you all sorts of different local public information, and we hope you take it to heart and use it, and we hope that our programmers here are helpful and entertaining and get you through your day sometimes. So if any of that is true, please make a donation at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Fall Pledge Drive. This year, from October 4th through October 13th, WGXC is trying to create a group of sustaining supporters vital to the station's longevity, providing small monthly donations to keep local voices on the air. And we're making this our local music pledge drive. Those are some of the local voices WGXC keeps on the air. So make a pledge at wgxc.org/donate today during the WGXC pledge drive. One way WGXC supports the local community is with our community calendar online at wgxc.org. With so many local events for you to attend in person or virtually online, this week is no different. There are all sorts of events on the WGXC community calendar. Like on Thursday, October 5th, the Hudson Thursday Market is every week in the public square from 4 to 7 p.m. with all sorts of local vendors. Also on Thursday, October 5th, the Hudson Area Library is hosting a workshop with the Jacob Leiser Institute called Interpretations of the Past Have an Impact. Heidi Hill, the historic site manager of Kralo and Schuller Mansion, will give the talk. Also Thursday, October 5th, the Glass Menagerie begins at the Bridge Street Theater. The Tennessee Williams play runs this weekend and next, 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and a Sunday afternoon matinee. Also, Friday, October 6th, there are sound bath sessions at the Sadhana Center for Yoga and Meditation on Warren Street in Hudson. At Tubby's in Kingston, the Heavy Litters, Bajan Boy, and Stella Cola perform at 7 p.m. to 11:30 in Kingston. Tom Carter and Warren Neig are performing at the Half Moon in Hudson, 8 p.m., the legendary guitarist Tom Carter from Charlem and Beatty's and Warren Nigg from the Somnambulists and This Invitation perform at the Half Moon in Hudson on Friday, October 6th. Saturday, October 7th is Hike Fest at the Mountaintop Historical Society in Palinville. It's the 9th annual Hike Fest with all sorts of walks in the woods. Harvest Festival is at the Hawthorne Valley Farm on Saturday, October 7th. That's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. with all sorts of children's activities and more. The Catskills Saturday Ukulele Jam is on October 7th from 1:30 to 3 p.m. at the Catskill United Methodist Church. There are Songs of Refuge at the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street on Saturday, October 7th. The Hudson Festival Orchestra is presenting Trio Fatalin, a string group from Eastern Europe. Also Saturday, October 7th, Inch and Skyfurs perform at Collar City Mushrooms in Troy. Wazumbians perform at the Local in Saugerties. That's a Ghanaian highlife band performing African rock at the new Local venue in Saugerties. That's from 7 to 10 p.m. Saturday, October 7th. Singer-songwriter Heather Maloney is also performing at Spencertown Academy in Spencertown at 8 p.m. Saturday, October 7th. Then on Sunday, October 8th, there's the traditional Irish music session in East Durham at the Shamrock House from 2 to 5 p.m. That's every week. Rip Van Winkle Reading is Sunday, October 8th at the Mountaintop Historical Society in Palinville. It's the fourth annual community reading of the Rip Van Winkle legend. And then on Tuesday, October 10th, there's a free community lunch at the First Reformed Church of Catskill. Every Tuesday, they're serving free lunch to anyone in the community that needs a hot meal. You can get the free lunch at the Fellowship Hall at the First Reformed Church of Catskill at noon on Tuesdays, or grab your lunch to go. Leftovers are dropped off at the Catskill Community Fridge on Tuesday afternoons, and anyone looking to donate or volunteer to help at the free community lunch every Tuesday at the First Reformed Church can email frcadmin@verizon.net or call 518-943-4405. Tuesday, October 10th, there's also pumpkin painting at the Hudson Area Library. That's at 3:30 p.m. after school in the community room. These events and more are on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. Don't forget to make a donation during the WGXC local music pledge drive at 518-697-7400 or go online to WGXC.org/donate.
And I am Pastor Kim.
I'm Tadeja.
I'm Denyla.
And I'm Shauna.
And we are Chick Chat.
Yes, yes, yes. And we are so glad to be back, all our listening audience, family, and friends. So glad to be back. We haven't had a Chick Chat segment since school let out in June. This season, this semester, we have some newbies to the group. And they just introduced themselves to Deja, Janila, and Tashana. And we have something we want to chat about today, don't we, ladies?
Yes.
Yes. So first segment, Deja, what are we going to talk about today?
Today we're going to be talking about middle school crushes.
Middle school crushes. I remember my middle school crush, which was a long time ago. So middle school crushes. Why is that an important subject for us to be talking about? Anybody, why is that an important subject?
It's important for us to be talking about so our parents know how we feel and we're not just crazy.
Okay, I like that idea. Any other reason we're going to talk about it today?
Entertainment.
For entertainment and advice.
Okay. All right. So parents don't think we're crazy. Entertainment and to get advice. So let's go. Why is junior high crushing entertaining? What makes it entertaining?
It's entertaining because you can have very different opinions about people and you can share your opinions and just like judge. Don't judge hard, but judge.
Use judgment in how you spend your time and who you spend your time with. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. What else is entertaining about junior high school crushes? Do you think about what kind of actual entertainment you might have with a crush? What kind of things would you like to do with your crushes?
Like kiss.
That's her.
Well, that could be entertaining. I don't know if I was kissing boys when I was in junior high school. I know it's a different world than the world I come from. But we're gonna have a personal conversation about that. Let me tell you that. Okay. All right. So
like to hang out with them, talk to them more.
Hang out. So what's hanging out look like these days?
Sit next to them.
Oh yeah, my like gosh. Well, that's not much different than my days. Okay.
Talking a bit.
Okay. So entertainment is sitting together, holding hands, and talking a bit. In my day, it was like roller skating.
Oh, like taking people out on a date and stuff.
Yeah. Well, it don't have to be a date, but just hanging out with a group, maybe. You know, do you ever think in terms of going out as a group?
Yes. Sometimes.
And what kind of things would you do entertaining as a group?
Watch movies.
Anybody?
Double dates.
Double date? But what would you do on a double date?
Like, go to the movies, roller skate, get ice cream.
Would you do sports for entertainment?
Yeah, watch your girlfriend or boyfriend. Basketball, playing soccer, going to the park, playing tag and stuff.
Uh-huh. So what do you think about being on the same team with your crush, or would you want to be in opposite teams as a competition?
I would be on opposite team
because
I'll
get distracted.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That's interesting to me. I would have chosen to be on the same team so we could have teamwork and beat the other group.
True.
Something to think about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it would be more distracting if I was on the opposite team because I'd be looking at them and I might miss the ball when it came my way, you know? So sporting is entertaining, sport activities, roller skating.
See who's better in roller skating.
Okay. Oh,
a little competition.
A little competitive edge over here, huh? All right. Do you think you would let your crush beat you at something you know you were better at?
Yeah. No. I would.
I wouldn't think, what's the word? Let me beat you.
You want them to beat you? You want them to let you beat them?
I bet.
You're gonna show your full potential, right?
I'm not going to let them beat me.
I hear you. All right. So it's entertaining to do some things with your crush. What else would you, why else is this an important topic for us to have?
For advice and for other people who's going through stuff in their relationships.
Okay. So do you have conversations other than today with people who can give you advice about dating and about having crushes in junior high school?
No, not really. I keep myself to myself.
Yeah.
I don't want people to judge that hard.
Uh-huh. So maybe we can just get something started where we can have this conversation from time to time because we have a judgment-free zone here. Yes?
Yes.
All right. And there was something else you said that why this was an important topic to have. It had something to do with the parents. Talk to me about why it's important to have this conversation in regards to the parents.
So, like they can know your boyfriend or girlfriend.
So they can give you like dating advice from back in their days.
Mm-hmm. You don't think that the dating advice your parents would give you would be outdated?
Yeah.
I think you got to talk a little louder.
I think it would definitely be because, like, it's there, and then some of the stuff that we get to do, they didn't do back in their day.
Some of the things are different nowadays, too.
Their advice would be better, though.
Their advice, okay, let's take it one more time because I want to unpack some of this. So some of the things that you all do today, we didn't do in our day?
Yes, mm-hmm. Most of
them. Now that's a unanimous yes. Give me an example.
Like kissing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, kissing as a
like being pregnant at 15
and younger. That's a lot.
Well, I have you to know that there were, in my day,
you would get your butt
whipped. There were that too, but there were young people who were, you know, having sexual relations at those ages. What do you think about having sexual relations that young?
I don't think that
I don't think that I don't think that's unacceptable.
It's unacceptable. Oh. You should get a bit older so you're more responsible about your decisions.
And your kids and like your stuff. So if for school, like do it around like when you're 18 or older.
My advice is to focus on your school, on your school and then go dating.
Yeah,
you have to focus on yourself more than focusing on another child.
So, do you think that there's pressure at your age to maybe not hold to your value about that? Do you think there's pressure from people to, do you experience any pressure at this age?
Sometimes. Sometimes, not about dating and stuff, maybe like getting your grades up and that kind of pressure. Yeah.
Okay, so the pressure for sexual relationships isn't there yet.
Not yet. Maybe like in high school.
Okay. And so are you prepared? Do you feel like you'd be prepared to deal with that kind of pressure? Or do you need more help?
I think I'd be somewhat prepared.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know a lot about this
stuff. About stuff. Like, we do Planned Parenthood and stuff.
Okay, Tashana, I'm not hearing you too well. I need you to pull up a little bit and speak up a little bit because your views are important too. Okay. So tell me what you said.
I said I think it's better to know about sexual relationships at a younger age so you're prepared for anything when you're older.
Mm-hmm. So if a nice looking guy pull up on you and say, girl, you just so fine. I want to spend some time. I want you to be mine. And then you'd be like, oh, he's so fine. He's so cute. And he want me to be his.
First thing you got to think about is your age. Your age. If he's in your age group and if you're in his age group. Otherwise, you can get into some real trouble.
I would say, like, no, but yes, because, like,
What are you saying?
I wouldn't say no, because it's not just about the looks. It's just, like, you got to know me better, like, your personality and stuff.
You don't know where he's been. You don't know if he might have kids. You don't know if he has a girlfriend. You don't know if he's been to jail. You don't know about his life.
So just don't let the sweet words fool you, right? You got to get to know people. You're too young. You got priorities. You have ambitions. You want to finish school. Somebody says something about going to college. Somebody said about having, you know, your life kind of on track before you make those kind of decisions. I'm going to check back with you in 2 years. Nah, I'm going to be there all the way. All right. So, but you said you wanted your parents not to think you were crazy by saying you have a crush on somebody. Why do you think parents think you're crazy when you say you have a crush?
Because, like, because you don't know how to handle it and stuff.
Oh, they don't think you're ready for it?
No.
In this day and age, there is a lot of things going on. So parents would probably think that you're unprepared for the different types of circumstances that could happen.
So how do you get prepared?
Like, talk to someone and ask them what they've been going through in relationships.
Talk to somebody that has had a healthy relationship and talk to someone that knows how to deal with a toxic relationship.
Girl, I'm going to give you snaps and claps on that. You got to learn from people who know how to have a healthy relationship. And you got to talk with people who know what toxic relationships are like, right? They say, oh, I can see that. All right, so, you know, I'm so glad that you all, you know, had this opportunity to have this conversation about crushing in junior high school. Takes me back. I remember being so in love with somebody in junior high school. You know, I don't even know where they are today. Lost contact with them a long time ago, but then I thought I was going to die without them. You ever had that feeling like, oh, if you don't call me, I'm just going to,
all the time.
And then guess what? Three years from now, you're not even going to know who they were.
No, because this happened to me. Like, I tried calling them and then they don't answer. And then, like, this one day when I was busy, they decided to call me. But then I try to call them back, they don't answer.
So that's playing games.
Yeah, toxic.
Toxic. Come on, snaps and claps. All right, toxic. And I'm so glad you all are learning the value of being who you are. Right. And said, yeah, it might hurt for a minute, but I got to let you go because it's toxic.
I'll get over it.
Absolutely. You all were telling me about some crushes that y'all have right now. Mm-hmm. And I was so happy that you didn't mind sharing.
Can we name them?
Well, why did you come up with these code names? Why did you come up with the code names?
Oh, so no one recognize the person, but like, yeah. So they won't discover them. Like, they won't find out. The whole world don't need to know our business.
Uh-huh. Yep. Okay. Shauna, what were you going to say?
If anybody at school hears that we like them, the whole entire school is going to know.
Oh.
Rumor spread like wildfire. Yeah, and the rumor is also going to change up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me hear what the crushes are, who the crushes are in code.
Okay, so we got pineapple, we got Skittles, and we got King.
Pineapple, Skittles, and King. Y'all making me hungry.
Y'all should know who King is. It's an obvious thing.
Nah, we're not going to do that. We're not going to blow up nobody's spot. Well, listen, I wish you all the best in your junior high school experience with crushing and grades and all that stuff, sports and music and all that stuff that you're doing. And you're juggling it and you're handling it so well. And we're here to support you and encourage you. And I'm so glad to have you on with Chick Chat in this school year. We're going to end up our segment today with some little information we want to share with our audience. A word or two. We talked about what is the slang word of the day.
Being the Lulu is the Salulu.
Being the Lulu is the Lulu. That's cool. So what does delulu mean?
Delulu is a short term for delusional, and means to imagine the person you like to like you back.
Okay, so you can be delulu over somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Can you give it to us in a sentence?
A sentence for delulu is, you're always being so delulu, he's not your man.
Oh, okay. So, okay, if I was going to use delulu in a sentence, would I say, no, that dress is not cute. You're delulu?
No, that's not what delulu means.
Okay.
It's like saying,
in different circumstances.
It's like saying, oh my God, why you keep looking at that man? He don't like you. Why are you being so delulu over him?
So it's in the context of relational.
It could be.
What else could it be? Help me.
If you're looking at yourself, like you bought new clothes and you keep looking at yourself in it and keep telling everybody how cute you look and everything, somebody might say, stop being so delulu over yourself because you're basically being obsessed.
Oh.
But you're really,
but you really look okay.
Okay.
You look mint.
So that's our new slang word for today, folks. Delulu. Don't be walking around in the world being Delulu, because that's a Lulu.
And then people were like, oh my God, that one girl's being so Delulu. And then it will be like,
be a whole
the whole world will know.
The whole world will know that you're Delulu?
Yeah, because it'll just like get, because that one girl's just walking everywhere, being so Delulu over that one boy.
Oh, we don't want to get caught out there like that, huh? No. Let's not get Delulu over no boy, okay?
Yep.
All right. Well, Brother Randall, that's Chick Chat for today. Segment number one in school year 23-24. And we are Chick Chat. Thank you so much to Shauna, Jamila, and to
Absolutely.
Daisy.
Absolutely.
There are so many bands coming to the Hudson Valley soon, coming through this area. It's a regular tour spot for so many acts. And one great band that's coming to town soon that's all over the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org is Baba Commandant and the Mandingo Band. They are performing three times locally, Wednesday, October 25th at the Half Moon in Hudson. They're also coming Friday, October 27th to Tubby's in Kingston. And they're also playing another show at the Falcon lower in the Hudson Valley. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar or tune in Baba Commandant and the Mandingo Band when you hear them on the radio. Tracks like Cerro Juga on 90.7 FM WGXC. Bala Commandant and the Mandingo Band coming to Half Moon in Hudson. Tubby's in Kingston and the Falcon at the end of the month, the end of October. Go to the WGXC community calendar for more information.
Talking with Peter Lavigne, who is a co-chair of the Green Party of New York State, and recently the United States Supreme Court refused to hear an appeal of a decision by the Green Party and the Libertarians challenging the rules in New York State that basically makes it fairly impossible for third parties that are not associated with the Democrats or Republicans to maintain ballot status. So, Peter, can you bring us up to date? What is the problem that the Green Party and Libertarians were challenging?
So back in 2020, Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature changed two things, honestly. One was how to get and maintain ballot status as a party, and the other was what happens if you lose that status in terms of the signatures you need. And what we were challenging this time, working its way through the courts, was the fact that the threshold that they've set, which is either 2% of the vote for governor, president every 2 years, or 130,000 votes, whichever one is higher, is an extraordinarily difficult threshold. It's one of the most difficult in the nation. And it was deliberately set that high by Andrew Cuomo and the legislature to make sure that parties like the Green Party and the Libertarians and any other potential independent new parties don't make it or retain the ballot line. So we've been we tried to fight that in the legislature. We're still hoping that we can get a bill introduced to change that to something much better. But until now, we've been working in coalition on this, just this one issue with the Libertarians, to try to get the courts to see that that's an unfair burden on us, and also that New York State acted wrongly in enacting.
Now, I saw from a press release that the United States Supreme Court has actually rejected all such petitions, basically challenging lower court decisions that have been filed by minor parties and independent candidates on ballot access for 32 years now. So it does seem like the Supreme Court is not particularly interested in protecting the rights of third parties in the United States. And also it appears likely that New York will be the only state in the nation where the only candidates on the ballot will be the Democrat and Republican nominees. It will appear on probably the Working Families Party line and the Conservative Party line, but New York is unique and allows fusion where you can run a more one ballot line. What does this say about the status of democracy in the United States and the willingness of the courts to actually stand up for democracy?
I don't think we have a democracy in this country. I think we have an oligarchy. I think it's run by the Democratic and Republican parties. I think that you see this with various ballot access laws that make it very difficult for us as third parties to get in and maintain ballot access, our election system, which privileges the incumbent parties, and the campaign finance system that privileges money and kind of capitalist interests in buying the vote. So I don't think that it says anything good about our democracy. I think that the signature requirement now is 45,000 signatures in 42 days, which is essentially the most stringent in the nation here in New York to get back on the ballot, which means you really need about 90,000 signatures here in New York, given how litigious the parties can be at trying to kick us off the ballot. They've also scheduled that for the spring, when it's almost impossible, especially across New York, to see large crowds of people outside to get them to sign. So they've essentially eliminated democratic choice here in New York. And in a lot of places around the country, that kind of access is getting worse, whether it's in Democratic or Republican control.
You know, I read someplace that the ballot access laws for statewide third party candidates in New York are literally now the worst in the entire world. That there does seem to be perhaps the city of Moscow in Russia has a similar type of, anti-democratic law. But it's also in Moscow that is so anti third party. Now, one of the things was also because Senator Schumer was trying to grab some votes, he moved the some of the timelines related to making sure that the military overseas were able to cast their votes in a timely fashion. And one of the things it did was it moved the New York State primaries. Used to be after Labor Day in September, and now it's in June. But that also means that it moves the petitioning period to qualify from statewide ballot from doing it during the summer to, you know, now doing it in March and April and May. What are, you know, besides being 45,000 signatures or something in 42 days, what are some of the other problems associated with trying to petition in late winter, early spring to get on the ballot?
You know, I'll talk about this in contrast with what it used to be. Back in the 2000s, we lost ballot status for about 8 years under the old rules. You'd only have to get 15,000 signatures over 42 days. And we had to do that in June, in July and August, essentially. And during those times, there's a lot of people out. It's warm in New York State. There's a lot of festivals where we can go and we can get signatures. When you're talking about the late winter, early spring, those festivals don't exist. People don't want to come out, especially in times of COVID. It's more difficult to get people to even answer the door. So the structural hurdles of collecting petitions in upstate New York, especially, but even downstate when it's very cold and there's not a lot going on outside, it's just extraordinarily difficult.
Now, the Green Party nationally is still planning to run a presidential candidate. Green Party, like the other parties, you know, have a, you know, primary process, which doesn't actually take place until, I think, you know, late midsummer. But I understand that Cornel West is one of the people seeking the Green Party nomination. You know, would it be possible for someone like Cornel to, given his name recognition, and I think some of the polls, he's at as high as 5%. Would it be possible for somebody like Cornell to actually qualify to be on the ballot? And how does that impact upon the Green Party, since Cornell has a petition in New York way before the national party selects a candidate?
I think Dr. West has as good a chance as anyone on the Green Party ballot to get on. I think, you know, even more so, he's a known name. He's a respected name. He's a committed leftist. I think that, you know, Cornell speaks what a lot of people are feeling about the two-party system, about capitalism, about socialism and the need for an alternative. And in the Green Party, I think he's found that alternative. And so I think that, it's possible for someone of Dr. West's stature. It's going to be very difficult. And unfortunately, it's going to cost a lot of money for whatever campaign that wants to do it. But I think that Dr. West would probably have the best chance of any of the candidates that are running right now for the Green nomination.
So we only have about a little less than 2 minutes left. It appears that Democrats almost undoubtedly are nominating, who's that guy, Biden. And the Republicans, certainly in the polls, it's Donald Trump, unless he's, you know, sent to jail or otherwise barred by the law from running. With a Trump-Biden, you know, race, you know, what would be missing that the Green Party would be trying to raise in the last 90 seconds?
90 seconds is not a lot of time, but, you know, I mean, look, we're seeing the effects of, catastrophic climate change over the last few years. I mean, this year has been, you know, the warmest year on record. Last year was the warmest year on record before that. Floods, right? You know, you look at what happened in New York over the weekend. I mean, these are things that that, you know, Joe Biden and Donald Trump are certainly not going to talk about. They're not going to talk about the need to transition away from dirty fossil fuels into a clean, renewable economy, to have a democratically planned economy where it's about people and about planetary sustainability. You know, the Green Party is the only party talking about these things, but also single payer healthcare. We just went through a pandemic. Nobody's talking about socialized medicine. I mean, the Democrats backed away from it to the extent they were ever talking about it on the national level. I mean, it just kind of disappeared in a puff of smoke when we needed the most during COVID. You know, they're not talking about, you know, living wage jobs. I think that, you know, Biden's appearance on that picket line in Michigan, because, you know, Trump was showing up.
10 seconds.
Desperately needs those votes. So I think labor, I think healthcare, I think climate change and a whole host of other issues. You need the Greens on the stage.
Pete Lavigne, Green Party of New York State, gpny.org. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.